Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. I am Lucia Matuonto, and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast. Today we are driving to Los Angeles to chat with Glenn McIntosh Hatcliffe. Glenn is a former soccer player. He's an actor, producer, and screenwriter who has worked on numerous films and collaborated with notable talents such as Justin Bieber and Diane Keaton. So my dear Glenn, welcome to the RV.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I couldn't be happier to go to California.
Well, you don't need your umbrella. There's lots of sunshine here right now.
So Glenn, you come from Scotland and now live in Los Angeles. Although I have never been to Scotland myself, I have heard that its landscape is magnificent. Could you share what you love the most about your home country?
Well, for one thing, Scotland only has 5 million people. I think there's more sheep than people. So that means it's not densely populated. There's acres and acres of organic land. There's a gentleman, Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now, where he has a lot of classes there in Findhorn. And it's an amazing place. There's no nuclear testing. The tomatoes are the size of melons. There's 15 energy centers in Scotland, which is more than any in the world. Russia has 7, Australia has 6, US is 4. These are vortexes of energy with natural piranha that comes down. So everything is highly charged. There's a lot of energy. The plants, the animals are all very healthy and strong. It's a great place to meditate. And of course, we've got the castles and a very rich history. So I think I love it all. I just feel very privileged that I was born in such a beautiful country.
Scotland is on my bucket list. So maybe next year I'll be able to visit. And Glenn, do you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about your upbringing?
Yes, I was actually, I had a tough upbringing, to be honest. I was put in an orphanage early. I have two sisters I don't even know. My dad, he was never around. So my mom had a hard time feeding us all. So I was deposited in the orphanage for a while there. And that was really a blessing in disguise because I never became domesticated, which means I always was in the world, but not of it. And I realized the matrix of the construction of a manipulative system very early on. So my upbringing was very, very tough, but in every cloud, there's a silver lining. So it's the way you perceive reality. You can perceive it in a negative or a positive way, because in my belief, I'm responsible for everything that happens. Life is not a one-shot deal. It's a continuum. Life begins death. Death begins life. So obviously, I came into this world to learn that lesson. So my upbringing at the time was very tough. I didn't feel loved. I was never very good at school. I think I left at 15 years old. They were saying, get him out of here. Because I was mainly a right-sided person, which is artistic and creative. My logic side, I just had no patience for it. So my yeah, that was that was a reasonable background. Then schooling wasn't very successful for me. That wasn't very successful. But what was successful was my ability to almost like shapeshift and be like a chameleon to get acceptance. So, this early, God makes you survive. We're given a survival mechanism. So what would I do? I'd heighten listening, heighten perceptions. I had psychic ability even early on, so even though it was tough, it was rewarding. And I think that's been my journey. I think my soul contract was to transcend time and space and get out of this third dimension this time around. When you look back, you do recapitulation. It's easy to blame your parents. It's easy to blame the schools, but I chose them. I'm fully responsible for this life. And when I can reframe the reality and think of how the suffering has given me wisdom, empathy, and compassion to my fellow human beings, I wouldn't change a thing.
I understand. Wow. And I believe, Leon, that growing up in an orphanage must have had a significant impact on your life. And that's amazing how you overcame the challenges. But was it by yourself, or you had someone who helped you to,
It's
let's say,
much of a blur because the orphanages there are, it's just a square meal and a room. So I never remembered any happiness there. But again, it created what's called introspection. So I never relied on the stimuli of the outside world. I relied on my intuition and my heart to survive. So that was like an exercise in meditation. So in many ways, it was helpful. I think it was I don't know the name of the book, but it was a gentleman who was in a Nazi camp, a Jewish gentleman, and they were slaughtering all his comrades, and they couldn't get to him. Man with Meaning, I think the book is called. But he talked about, and even Nelson Mandela talks about this when he's in jail. They can get everything, but they can't get the true you. They can only attack your ego. And like Buddha said, you can get an emotional wound once, but with awareness, it doesn't need to happen again because you're in control of your reaction. So all this hard time, in a funny sort of way, has prepared me for who I am now. I could have went the other path or be a victim. This was no good. It was tough. Even when I got out of the orphanage, it was tough. I lived with my mother again, and we had like one room. The bathroom was outside for 30 people. I had to go outside to use the bathroom for 30 of us, and I got one bath a week at my grandmother's because the hot water was very, very expensive. So my grandmother and all my uncles and everyone, we had the bath once a week, and it was like ducks, the smallest, the largest you get in, you dunk yourself in the bath. And by the time I got out in the bath, it was full of soot because all my uncles were coal miners. So the bath was black. So, and I had a lot of hardships. I got the mumps, the measles, diphtheria, scarlet fever, because I never get in. My parents didn't inoculate me from any disease, so I had to take them several times. I almost died between 5 and 10 years old. I was full of mumps and chicken pox and everything, but for the grace of God, my immune system beat it naturally. So that's why I'm hardly ever sick, because I have such a strong immune system. So there's some, see, again, there's I'm not being a victim. Again, it's a caveat, because disease is this lack of harmony. If you can, through the power of your mind, cure this stuff, that means you don't need any pharmaceuticals. So it led to a lot of understanding about the body. And I know people that got those inoculations for polio and mumps, and they had other problems. So it was a tough upbringing. I love soccer. I managed to, that was my only love at the time, because I felt part of a team. And I got good at it, not because I was better than anyone, but I practiced more because I had no life. I just loved the soccer. So in Halton, played and played and played and played. I remember one time my mother said, "It's time for a pair of shoes." And I said, "Okay." She said, "What do you want? You can get cleats and you can get shoes, one or the other. And you have to go to church," because that's what we did there. "You have to go to school and you have to play soccer." I got the cleats. So I went to church with soccer cleats on. I went to school with soccer cleats on, and we were so poor, we played in like the projects. We had to steal bricks from the building sites. And then we had to use the floodlights, the street lights as the floodlights, and to play in the road. That was my soccer field. So you improvise, and that's why for me, I can get up in the morning, have a cup of tea and see a bird, and it touches my heart because I'm grateful to be alive. I am grateful I'm here. I know what it's like to suffer. So, number one, I'm grateful for the tiniest things. And number two, I have great compassion for humanity, for people who are suffering, because I've been there. It's not like I read it in a book. I can look, if I see a dog limping, I can start to cry because I feel so much pain. I can feel pain of everything, and that's not a bad thing because I have a pure filter to emotion. I have a pure filter to creativity, a pure filter to expression. So all these things, even though I never went to school, I have wisdom, which I think is greater than intellect. Intellect is, "Oh, we got to prove it. Let's work it out." But wisdom goes for the cause of all effect. The intellect will go, "Oh, that happened. This is happening. That's an effect." That you have to go to the cause of the effect to understand things. So when you come from the cause, which is your heart, you can see everything very clearly because you don't respond to effects. So in a sense, all this, in a strange way, was a gift of power. That's the way I look at it. So being tough is for the ego and survival. But being massively appreciative of it now in retrospect, because it's given me this strength, this understanding of God within everyone, I could never have got there without that. So you see how it works? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing that when I asked you how you would describe yourself, you said, "I am love." And you know, Glenn, it's wonderful that you chose to spread love rather than hate, because you went through so many hardship that you could be hateful. So can you explain what this mantra means?
Well, first of all, everyone has a name. I'm Glenn, that's Fred, that's Tom, you're Lucia. But that's a label, like a phone, a cow, a house. We label things. So your name is no more than a label. And your label is your ego structure, which is who you think you are. You think you're real. But you're not real. What you are is a composite of earthly compounds compressed in a formation like an animal, and indwells in that animal a molecule. It's a, right inside your heart, and the quirk, it's got a quirk, very tiny, an omnipotent molecule of God that resides in your heart. We call it the subconscious. So what happens here, the ego gets a name, gets desires, gets attachments, gets needs. And what this does is the conscious mind starts taking control of the subconscious, the God in you. So the way I try and explain this is that you're not your name. It's like you're not a grain of sand. You're the beach. You're not a drop of water. You're the entire ocean. Everyone you meet is God in disguise. And everyone is I am. Everyone. Who's your real identity is I am. I am God in my heart. I am God. They are God. So once you understand the power of the word I am, that dissolves your ego. Like Christ on the cross when he had to die and the resurrection of the virgin birth, he was dying to the humanity. The ego is represented by the wood, the dense wood of that cross, because you're nailed to your attachments. Action reaction will imprison you. So once you realize you're not an ego structure, you transcend. There's no fear because you're not really here anyway. You're almost like a projection from a holograph. It's like when you go to a movie theater, where's the reality? Is it in the theater or in the projector? Right? Are you really here or are you not here? I am here, but I'm the silent witness witnessing this cosmic drama of time and space on the screen, but I'm not involved in it. The ego's involved in it, and that's why it gets karma, action, react, it gets cluttered. And how that works is we have a mammalian brain, which is a triggers what's called the flight or fight mechanism, which came back from the Stone Age, where, oh, I'm scared. So you go into a defensive modality. So this flight or fight mechanism is wired in us to survive. So what society does to manipulate us, it creates a trauma, creates a conflict through maybe politics, pharmaceutical, finance, food we eat, creates a conflict. So we go into what's called a flight or fight modality. This flight or fight modality governs our thinking pattern. And this thinking pattern is synchronized to survival because we think, you check your Apple phone, oh, there was a big disaster in Alaska, there's a hurricane coming. Oh, negative, because the captains of industry know that because it's part of their deal to sell more products by inducing fear in us that we need them. So what happens is we start to think based on fear. And this fear creates a reaction. This reaction creates a habit, and this habit creates a personality, and this personality creates a character. And before long, we are trapped in a web of our own weaving in a false world we created, and we're the living dead. We're not even real because we're in a false world. We can't see straight. So whenever things come up for evaluation, we give our power to the outside. Oh, that didn't work, so you feel terrible. No, you have to change yourself, and the world will change outside. Don't react to the stimuli from the system. This is the system, and this is me. So I'm not reacting to that because I know it. I know what it's all about. So that's over here, and I'm here. So I am. Glenn might be standing here. You might be looking at Glenn, but the real me is here. I am living in my heart. So that's the death of the ego. And that's the resurrection of the I am. And everyone is I am. But if you're walking around with glasses on, you're walking around in a hypnotic stupor where you're listening to social media, they're creating algorithms on you, you're buying products that are bad for you, you're getting manipulated into buying cars with high interest, taking pharmaceutical drugs because you feel bad. They love it. That's the evil. And this planet is, there's a cosmic pendulum of creation. And it goes like this: negative, positive. But that's the whole secret. It's like a coin. It's heads and it's tails, but it's one coin. Everything is one. We're all interwoven in one tapestry of God. But everyone can't see it because they're fragmented, you see. They have a fragmentation of unity, so they become subject and object. You're there and I'm here, but really we're the same. You may have a different, your ego may be different, but that's an effect. And remember early, I told you the wisdom lies in cause. So if I love you, I love me. If I'm angry at you, I'm angry at me. Because everyone you meet is God in disguise. They may not know it, but when they wake up to that fact, you have a humility and a compassion and a gratitude for life and everyone in it. So that's what I am means.
Are you studying this subject for a long time?
Let me explain how that happened. I told you I had a tough childhood, so but my being was fertile for God's wisdom, let's say, because there's no codependency because there's no one there. There was a sense of psychic ability and an open heart. So I was fertile for what was to happen to me. But there was still a massive dichotomy leading into this experience. I was still drinking, womanizing, doing, just being an ego to a degree. It was a fight. But then I had the death experience. I was going to Hollywood to do a play, Arsenic and Old Lace. It's playing Mortimer Brewster in Hollywood, actually. And I was driving a little rice rocket, a little Honda Civic, and there was a police chase, and it was a blind spot. And it must have been serious because there was like eight cop cars chasing this guy. So the light went red for me, and I went through it. It went green for me, sorry. It went green. It was my way. It went through it. And then this guy came right out and he hit me, and his face went through the windshield. His face was like the map of Gibraltar, all cut into pieces, flying through. And all his cop cars came in, but he twisted my car and I was hit by a truck. And so what happened was my neck snapped back and stuff, and I was released from my body. There's a cord from the heart to the pineal gland to the crown chakra. It's like the connection to God. I was released from that in centrifugal force, because everything's a circle, spiraling like that. And like a DVD backwards, I saw my entire life from when I was born. It was big pictures, like a movie screen. I was going through them, from my birth on and on. Everyone I'd met, there was Gregorian chants. But it's like a kind of roller coaster, like going so fast, it's like you couldn't think. And then I went up and up and up, and then it was this white light. And I just went into the light, and I became the length and breadth of the sun. It was like a giant orgasm. I was free, just pure bliss, just a feeling of joy. And it was like liberation. And I was there, but for some strange reason, I was still conscious. I wasn't in a slumber. It wasn't like, oh, I'm home. And my awareness shifted, and I saw the guy beating on my chest. It's like, looked like one of those binoculars, and he was doing this. Then the realization came. I'm an effect. I'm not real. I'm caused by this light. And as soon as that hit me, I heard this voice: "Surrender unto me, my son, for bestowed upon you shall be the power of light. Go forth and do mine works and lead the world into freedom." It's like a voice. And then I went, spiraled back down into my head. And it was the guy goes, "I thought you were dead," because he was, there was paramedics at that time. And there I was, and I woke up, my eyes were a blazing blue. So like fire coming out my eyes. And there was like a thread of light from my heart to everyone's heart. It's like, what is this? It's like light coming out of my heart. And then I said, well, we're all connected. I could see it, So then I knew I was an illusion. I realized I am, and then I knew it was all connected. Then that took me about 30 years of study, where I went to China, India, among other places, to meet masters, because I couldn't figure it out. This stuff takes like 40 years in the desert, to figure out enlightenment. And I said, I don't understand this. All I know, I had this experience. He says, you don't need to understand it, because the unknown is God. It's you surrender to it. Don't try and figure it out and see everything. Everything you're seeing is an effect. Everything is permanent yet impermanent. The sun is hidden by the cloud, but it's there. Everything that dies must be born. Everything that's born must die, because the universe feeds off itself. It's a self-propelling entity. So I said, really? And then I learned more that, after passing your 48 days to reincubate into a new body, and depending on your frequency vibration, it's like ice, water, and steam, lead into gold, ego into soul, it's a transmutation. So, after depending on the merit, the love you give, and the compassion, you can transcend. See, this is a third dimension: length, breadth, height, and time, the governors. So this earth is a learning library, just a school to learn. The purpose of coming here is to get that message and get out. It's not to be here, not to take things. The astronaut, the Oscar winner, the garbage man, the janitor, they're all the same. You can have an enlightened gas station guy, an enlightened janitor. Enlightenment transcends everything, because that's your connection to God. No, so no matter who you are or where you are, you're important. You're important because you're a godly being. You just need to wake up to that fact. You know, I know acting friends of mine going, oh, Glenn, I'm not getting a break. I said, you're transferring your power to those people. This is what it doesn't matter about them. What you have to change inside, because it's not about getting jobs or doing this. It's about when you go to your piece to pass on and put this body down, where are you going? You coming back here? Or are you going up to a fifth dimension? So this whole experience reshapes your reality, where you go, oh my goodness, I'm here to get out of here. How to get out of here? I've got to give love. Dish it out every chance you get. Out, love, love. And then you go to another dimension and have another experience, you know. So these people that are just using people and manipulating people, they can be born next time as a dog, because the universe is either evolving or de-evolving. You know, the universe is impartial. It's expanding. But if I do a lot of negative things, a lot of negative things will come back.
It's because like karma.
Yeah. So you can have short term, these people with the trilateral commissions, the Illuminati, all these type of people, that's short term. Sure, you can have everything this life, but then you're going to, well, where are you going next life? Because exactly. It's not a one shot deal. Mm-hmm. You have to, it's like buying insurance for the future. You know what I mean? You got to say, yeah. The love I'm giving now is helping me accumulate the merit, not Glenn, but the I amness. To participate in a new reality.
And Glenn, I have come across many videos about near-death experiences. And it's fascinating how people often describe feeling a sense of peace and love, as well as seeing a light, as you told us. Did you have this feeling of peace and love while you were having this experience?
Yes, that's why I said it was blissful. And the reason for that, because even that's an effect going in there, is caused by the severance of the nervous system to the ego structure. Because we carry around with us past lives, perennial neurosis, karmic retribution. It's like the human being is a machine with a virus, a computer virus. The brain is not working right. So when you sever that, you sever all attachments, desires, so there's nothing left but who you really are, and God is bliss and love. So to answer your question, yeah, and that's what the yogis do, you know, they sever their, through hours of meditation, they sever their connection to the sensed body of clay, because this is just a sensed body of clay with a nervous system and ganglii and senses. And we're perceiving just a small portion of reality. And this portion is creating illusions to manipulate us. So if you buy into what you see, it's not real. It's what you know. The knowing must supersede the sensing. So if something's going on here, and Glenn is here, right? The Glenn is here, but the higher Glenn is up watching this. And I'm here to represent him. So I'll hear all this. This political thing, this change, this big new drug, this AI, whatever it is. And I'll see clearly that's an effect caused by manipulators to take possession of our freedom. It's like social media. They'll create an algorithm. You get 20 emails to buy a product. You know, they've got you corrupted. And that's what, with devil, evil, that's what's going on here. But you have to see it. Like I keep saying, you cannot get out of this trap if you don't know you're in it. So once you know how it works, once you know that you've created a false world, your eyes are like Kodak cameras. They take pictures, and it stores in your mind as a memory. And this memory is what the ego uses to ascertain reality and make decisions. It's erroneous data. It's like a computer with a bad program. Because the ego can only work off the memories. Memories are not wisdom. They're effect. You have to go to the cause of the memory. That's where the wisdom lies. So too many people are responding to effects. And this effect is controlling them, and it's putting them in a box of limitation, and they can't get out because they're trapped, waiting for outside events to make them happy. And it's does it, you have to become the change that you want to see.
Glenn, I could be talking about it with you for the whole day, but I would like to know a little bit more about your acting career. Actually, as you told us, you were a soccer player. And how did you transition from being a soccer player to becoming an
That's a
actor?
really good question because I had no intention of ever being an actor. You know, that was never in my mind. I was in San Francisco and I was digging ditches because I had no education. You know, I had wisdom, but it didn't bother me. I was never a material guy, so I was digging the ditches. And then there was an open call. It was 2024. The World Cup was in Pasadena at the time. So there's a big to-do about sports commercials. So I read in the paper that there was an open call for a Michael Jordan, you know, the basketball player, for a Gatorade commercial. And of course, he's the star, and all the rest of us are just all, but there was an open call for it. And what they wanted was an Irish priest that could juggle a soccer ball with shoes on. So having played soccer with cleats, with shoes, with whatever, and someone said, you should try out for that, Glenn. You're a good soccer player. So I don't know how to act. What am I? Just be yourself. So I'm in there. I'm doing all these tricks on my nose, all the fancy, because I'd played for years, you know, and it's still relatively fit then. So I got there. That was mentoring acting. So I did the commercial. I had to do a scissor kick, and they had to put a mattress on the ground because I had to do it like 400 times to get the right thing. So then I went back to the digging the ditches after that. You know, oh, that was interesting. Then there was another open call for a Benson and Hedges cigarette. And in that time, I'd been studying this plumber because I was always a people watcher, and he used to light his cigarette with his nail. He had a long nail here, and he'd get a match and go, tsh, and it looked so cool. You know, it looked like just the way he lit the match. I was like, I got, you know, I said, God, that guy's so cool, you know. So the break after digging the ditches, I would just watch him light his cigarette. And so there was a Benson and Hedges and a commercial. And, you know, I said, okay, I'll try for that. And he'd fill out the questionnaire. Do you smoke? Of course, you should say you have to smoke, even though I didn't smoke. So what I did is for the week, I got matches and grew my nail long, practiced so I could do that. So I walked in. There was like 800 people. It was a long line, freezing. So I had my leather jacket on, my white t-shirt. My hair was long. I had my earrings, looking like a rock star, you know, just trying to be cool. Had the cigarette. I mean, honestly, I'm so egotistical. I had my cigarette in my ear, and I walked in like thinking I'm the bee's knees. And the gal goes, "Can you smoke?" And I pulled it out my ear, went, clicked the match, flicked the match. Goes, hey, of course I can smoke. And that cocky attitude and the creativity, it got me an international billboard. I went to New York and Times Square, where I was the Benson and Hedges guy.
No way.
But seriously. And then, so I was getting a little hint then, you know, I thought that's pure luck. But the fact is that I had a natural innate acting talent, but I'd never gone to school for it, and but I could do it. So one day I was taking a friend to the city college. They couldn't drive, and they were taking, I think it was acting classes in these bungalows for like $5. And there was a bar across the street, and I liked to drink Guinness at the time, beer, a lot of beer. And they couldn't drive, so I said, okay, you know, I'll take you there. There's an Irish pub across the street. I'll have a few beers and you can go to class, you know, because I had a Pinto, a little tiny car. And then I'm walking out, and the teacher went, whistled at me, and he said, can you come in for a minute? I said, what? And he says, we're doing an improv scene, and we're one short. I said, what the hell is improv? I said, I'm a construction worker. What do you want me to do? I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, oh, you're just in a locker room and you've lost a lot of games. You talk about sense memory, my love for soccer. It was built in me. It was embroidered in me because I'd played so long and I'd lost games and I loved that game and I hated to lose. So when I did it, he went, my God, that was absolutely brilliant. And I said, well, I was just being truthful in imaginary circumstances. And he says, that's what acting is. I went, really? That's what the thing is. I said, I think I'll come back to the class. So that's how it started. It was like something was guiding me.
You manifested it.
I must have done something, but it was purely, it wasn't because I was trying to force anything. It was just, oh, okay. You know, if you've been given this gift of communication and expression, then you learn that you have to give that back. It's not yours. And the more you give it back, the stronger it is. You know, so that's how I drifted into acting, you know.
Love
It's
it.
kind
So,
of, yeah.
and actually, I would love, I think our listeners also would love to hear any insights or let's say experiences you can share from your work on the movie Ghost.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
Well,
because you collaborated with the
that
wonderful Diane.
was a winner, Diane
Yeah.
Keaton, Grammy winner. Yeah, it's got like a 380 million views now. It's all over the place. So it's like almost half a billion. That was very interesting. I got a call. These casting people were calling me a lot. And they said, oh, there's an Australian band, because they can't publicize Keaton and it'd be crazy, that we want you to just be an extra, just be the granddad. Okay, I'll take it, you know, because I like music. Who's the band? They made some name up. And then the next day before the show, I get the call sheet, and it has at the top of the call sheet, Glenn Ratcliffe, the granddad, is the number one in the video. And it's all these other extras, but it's, after that's really weird. I'm the granddad, you know, what's up with
Granddad.
that? And so I'm going there, you know, just merrily chewing my chewing gum, just hanging out. And they go, you know, you're working with, I said, yes, some Australian band. I guess I'm the granddad. He goes, no, you're Justin Bieber. You're playing his granddad. And 1 hour before,
1 hour before.
1 hour before, I got there and I said, oh, are you ready for this? I said, ready for what? He says, well, you're going to be Diane Keaton's husband. Oh, then he took me into the trailer, and I'm just, you know, I'm a regular guy. I don't need anything, but oh, they're pampering me and doing this and doing that. I said, I don't need that stuff. I said, just, I'm fine. I don't need makeup. I just give me a jacket and I'll go and do my thing. I don't, you know. But they insisted. And then the funniest thing, when I drove, they put me in this SUV driving around paparazzi people. I was like crazy. And I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of big. Yeah, but I wasn't affected because I knew that everyone is equal and that he's God, I'm God, you're God. That's just doesn't matter. There's no ego involved here. So I got there. But the funniest thing happened, new for me. So I got there, I checked in, and I said to the PA, said, can I use the bathroom? Because, you know, they're setting up in this big mansion. He goes, yeah. So he's, I'll come with you. That was the first strange thing. I said, okay, come on then. So I then did my business, number one. And then he came out and he says, I heard this on the thing. And these communication systems, everyone knows about them. Oh, granddad's doing a T2. They called it a T2,
Me
which
too.
is number one in the bathroom. T2,
Okay.
yeah.
Teach you.
T2. And I said, what is that? He says, oh, that means you're just having a pee, you're in the bathroom. I said, but you're telling everyone. He goes, yeah, we got to follow you around. Then I said, what if I need a number two? He goes, that's a T4. And I says, you're going to go and say, granddad's in the bathroom doing a T4, doing a T4. And the whole place would know. The whole place went up. And it was like, oh, granddad's chewing gum. Granddad's sitting back. It was like their eyes on me. Boom. Because I guess with Keaton and Beaver, you've got to be right on it because they're probably making so much money. You know, I can't do anything. And then I said, wow, is this what stardom is? You're like encased in people watching you. And then the guy comes up to me and he goes, oh, we need you to cry. This is like a minute before I'm doing the scene, you know, I'm sitting here. He goes, I need you to cry at the birthday because Justin is singing about you, the granddad. So, in order to make the song work, we got to like you. You got to be able to cry. You got to be charming. This is on like 30 seconds, but I'm going to do it. First of all, I think I'm working with some Australian band. Then I have to perform like Shakespeare in 30 seconds with all these emotions, you know. I said, okay, so I'm with Keaton. I did the first scene, you know, I kiss. All this stuff was I invented because I'm a good improv actor. The scene where I'm holding them and I kiss Diane, then I kiss Justin. That was used all over the world. When a week before, the day before the video, I think it was Jimmy Fallon, or it was this big talk show host. He goes, "Oh, spoiler alert! Diane Keaton and Justin Bieber are working together," and it was me kissing Justin all over national TV.
Love
And
it.
that picture was in, it was in Africa, Russia, Tibet, England, because what I did it because I knew that Justin, for the song to work, had to show emotion, had to show love. So when I die in the video, it's stronger. So it was my way of serving the writing. And the same thing on the Today Show. There's a big Kathy Lee Gifford or something, or spoiler alert, and the same picture of me kissing Justin with Diane there, all over the world. You know, people from my school are calling me in Scotland. Is that you? Is that you? Yeah, it was me. So that was kind of crazy. And then the crying scene came, and they're moving. You know, I guess because I'm a professional actor, I can do this because I use a lot of music to invoke stimuli for various emotions. So I said to Diane, I said, "Diane, I need 30 seconds because I got to cry here." Because we just had a comedy scene where I was like, da 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 da. And she went, "Oh, okay, Glenn." So I went to the balcony, put my headset on, started crying. Had to hold it for a second because he's bringing the candle. And I'm holding these tears, and then I blow it out, and the tear drops. And the guy's going, "Wow, that was great." And he goes, You can follow us around all day if you want and see all the other scenes." I said, "No."
No.
But I could see I earned respect there because he saw that Keith, Diane, and Justin, I wasn't fazed at all. Not in an egotistical way, but a collaboration way. You know, I never went, "Oh my God, these are so powerful, super people. There's nothing I can do." No, I worked with them, and they were generous because they are good people. They're talented, gifted people. In fact, it was Diane that said, "Glenn, you should be in the middle." Diane was in the middle, Justin was here, and it was the birthday. And Diane said, "You should be in the middle." And so she gave me that spot out of the kindness. Because she's the star. I'm just the granddad, you know. But they were very kind to me to get to try and get me that exposure because they saw I wasn't afraid, and I was bringing my truth to enhance the project. You know, there was no ego involved, was none to do with me. But so I think that experience has standed me in good stead because if you can work with an Oscar winner or Grammy winner, you can work with anyone, you know. So that was that experience. I was very blessed to get that, and the spiritual training helped because again, if I speak to an astronaut, an Oscar winner, or the janitor, I still see them as the same. I don't see any different. If I speak to a black person, a yellow person, I don't see any different. It's like the knowing is so strong over my ego. I don't see any different. You know, everyone's beautiful, everyone's perfect the way they are. And you know, my job is to try and give compassion, uplift someone, or they will uplift me with their wisdom. But whatever it is, it's a synergy of love, you know, love and compassion and giving.
Yes, and you deserved it, Glenn. You
Oh,
deserved
thank you.
it. Yes. I love this story, and it's amazing you didn't know about anything
Hour before.
and crying like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Will never forget this experience for sure. You have a lot to share
Yeah.
with us. Your next project is called Tested. So, do
Yeah.
you mind sharing a little bit about this with us?
Oh, not at all. Tested came about 4 years ago. I went to Kaohsiung in Taiwan to meet the reincarnation of a Buddha. And I received initiation into Kuan Yin technique. And then I was living in a monastery for a while with monks, a lot of cleansing, vegan food, meditation. And that's when the idea of tested struck me, because you can pass a test. It's not a rule. So if you're being bombarded by rules and you reframe it as a test, you now have the decision how to take this information. So that's why the name tested came in. Also, I wanted to point out that this testing starts in the school, because the school will give you the wrong answers to the test to integrate you into a system. You need a credit card to start your credit. They'll give you a watered down version of history, which is not exactly accurate. And so what happens is this, when the infant's in a very vulnerable state and the subconscious mind is open for influence, they'll give them this information. And this will be like a seed planted in them. The seed of knowledge, it's like the Garden of Eden. The downfall of man is a societal construction which we take as real, and we allow it in to make our decisions. So this starts embryonically in the school system. So I wanted to point out that that it's two focuses on this. One, you need to homeschool your child, because the schools aren't exactly perfect, because they need funding and they can manipulate things. So I advocate homeschooling for good parents. But they're tested with the wrong information. So then I thought, okay, we're tested. Oh, this is happening. I said, okay, that's an effect. Okay, so what's going to help you transcend this happening and not lose your power? Put upon it as a test. Because if someone says, Glenn, I want you to do 10 push-ups, it's a test. If I can only do eight, I've got the ability to do 10. So everything that happens to you as a test, you have the ability to pass. So you're no longer imprisoned by what you think are the societal restrictions, because they're just tests, nothing more. And as an enlightened being, you can transcend the test. You can pass the test. You, guy goes, vote this way, take this Xanax, buy this house at the high interest, get a robot to replace your bus boy, and so his family can't eat. You can see all this as tests. So number one, you don't get angry. You don't want to fight negative. You don't want to fall from grace, because then you're just as bad as the perpetrators. You want to maintain dignity, honesty, and decency. And like Gandhi, you fight him with love, by education, by passing wisdom along the world. So love conquers hate, and right conquers might. And we're liberated with a paradigm shift, and we bring heaven on earth. So that's the purpose of tested. One of the things the enlightened minister says, he says, when you're born, you don't get a birth certificate, you get a slave certificate, because you're impregnated in a system. So all these kernels of wisdom, which I'm allowed to say because I'm the minister, I'm playing the minister, so I can use the pulpit of love to get this message across. Because if you know, Einstein said this, once you've been, your mind's been stretched to a level of consciousness, it can never go back. If you know that you're made of love and you start arguing with someone, you have no excuse anymore, because you know the consequences. So if people can, it's like peeling an onion. We have to peel away the layers of deception. Where are we giving our power to? Media, hospitals, dentists, finance companies, social media? Where's our energy going? And you'll see that it's like an energy, like it's sucked out of us all by all these fragmentations of distortion and disease. Disease is lack of harmony. So you have to return to the fountain, the source of your being, which is love. And that is where the Tested movie came about, with the intention of spiritually liberating the world from bondage through re-education and giving people back their dignity. So they now have a choice to choose what actions to take, rather than the choice being made for them by a corrupt system. You have to take this drug, you have to do this. This is the no. That's what that's the Garden of Eden. That's eating the apple. Oh, I've got knowledge. Oh, okay, I want to be better than you. You're over here and I'm over here. I want more rocks than you. That's where the ego's born. So you have to die to be reborn. The ego, you have to die. It's like a fulcrum and a wheel. The center, you have the center, and you have the spokes, make the wheel go round, but the power's in the center. So you have to take the spokes away, like the spoke of attachment, spoke of desire, the spoke of need, the spoke of manipulation, all the things that are the ego has contrived to try and get its identity validated and say, hey, look at me, I'm king of the castle. But that's, you're not king of the castle. You're just an ego that's gonna, an impermanent ego that's going to dust and having to, and you'll be reincarnated back here to learn the lessons you didn't learn this time. That's what the tested movie's about.
And when is this movie going to
We're
be
still
available?
it's not available yet. We're still in the funding stage. We're sending out funding. So if anyone's interested to help the world, we have a good program, tax shelter, return on investment. I have a 52-page business plan with the waterfall, tax advantages, everything. Please reach out because the karma that you'll accrue, the good karma by being part of something that's helping the world, will leave an indelible mark of beauty and light on your soul. So, if you pass that message across, because you can invest in the races, or you can invest in a movie that's going to kill people and say, oh, look at this movie. It's got Joe Blow in it. He's a star. Oh, it's there's 15 bullets a minute, 8 deaths. Does that help humanity? No, that's downgraded humanity. So not many people, investors need to learn that too, that, if they're contributing to movies that are damaging society, that's not a good thing. Just because it makes money, but then their ego structure is going to crystallize and die. And then they'll go, oh, well, when they're 90 years old, uh-oh, it's time for me to go. But I did all this stuff. Rather than saying, hey, I served the best I could. I'm happy. I'm at peace. I'm ready to go whenever you want me because I did my part. That's the peace of mind that passeth all understanding that Jesus talked about. And you can only get there through ultimate surrender and being grateful and humble. That's how you get there. And that's what the tested movie and project's all about.
I hope you can make it through. You can make it work. You are a jack of all trades. Is that what I
Think
was saying?
Joseph Campbell wrote a book, The Man with 10,000 Faces, because see, really, the soul's in liquidity. We're everything but nothing simultaneously. And it's the part of the soul we bring forth that creates the shape shift into something else. And the going into the meta universe to channel down different things, because in the Christ conscious grid of awareness, the Akashic records of time and space, all knowledge lies in there because everything is energy, a different permanation. Ice, water, and steam. Ice is solid. You add energy to it, becomes water, still H2O. You add energy to the water, becomes steam. It's still H2O. It's still the same
Energy.
thing, but it's a different formation. So you've got the entire universe in you. You can look at a flower and you can see the entire universe. You can look at an acorn seed and see the entire universe in it. Just to reframe your reality. It's not an acorn seed, that's an effect. It's the entire universe that's the cause.
Glenn, where can our listeners find you online and connect with you?
Well, I'm very open. I'd love to chat with anyone who's interested or just share time, share truth. My email is glennratcliffe@icloud.com.
And do you have Instagram or
It's
Facebook?
Instagram, Glenn Ratcliffe 712. And for Facebook and LinkedIn, it's just my name. And I'll give you the website of the movie so you can look into it. It's testedthemovie.com. And I also have a world peace movement called testedthemovement.com.
Great. I will put it
Yeah.
all on your on
Yeah,
the
I can be reached,
freelance.
yeah, with any questions or queries. But the main thing is to realize, you don't want to go about trying to change things on the outside. You have to change them on the inside, and the outside will reflect the changes from you, because macrocosm, microcosm, we are the center of our own universe. So we are constantly changing the world we see by constantly upgrading our love and compassion, and the things change because we change. Too many people go, oh, I need to change that person. No, you change yourself. That person will be a reflection of that change.
Exactly. For our listeners, please check our website www.relatable-media.com. I have no words. I just want to tell you that you made me feel more positive. So when you give, you receive. And this conversation was very deep and special. And I would like you to know that our doors will be always open for you.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. I really appreciate your time, and I just want to really wish you Godspeed in your endeavors in the magazine, because you're doing wonderful things for the world. And please, please, please keep going.
I will, I promise you. Thank you, and see you again in California, or maybe here in Spain.
Okay, then.